Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. How do you guys feel? Because I guess it's now down to 10 minutes per pick in the first round. Wouldn't you feel fine, or I don't want to put words in your mouth, you tell me, if we went back to the old school 15 minutes in between every pick now?
It should be mandatory.
15 minutes, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to spread this thing out, and on top of it, I mean, you're already hearing Schefter reporting that, you know, there's some issues going on right now with IT and, you know, these, you know, GMs and everything else not really feeling comfortable with having, you know, more people in their houses. Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes to make this run as smoothly as possible, it means an extra 5 minutes. You can live with it, can't you?
Sure. I think you should do it. I mean, you hear about all the hurdles they're going to have to be able to get through and jump over just to get the draft done properly. So if it means everybody gets an extra 5 minutes, I would think it makes it easier for these teams and these GMs.
Well, it's a level playing field. So from that standpoint, I don't think anybody has a competitive advantage. So I just think it's an added layer. It's something that ups the degree of difficulty, but it's not something that's impossible because you've been planning for this event for the entire calendar year.
Yeah. I mean, it's been planned forever. And if you give an extra 5 minutes, I don't know what impact it has negatively on anybody. I mean, we're all desperate for programming anyway.
They could stretch it out. From that standpoint, that's the thing that actually probably makes the most sense is to be able to stretch it out even longer because you're going to have people locked in no matter what. You're not competing against any other programming. So, I mean, from that standpoint, yeah, I guess that does make sense. Now, as far as the production of it by the television companies, I think that makes it a little harder on there. And if you actually add time to this, because that's more time that you got to fill.
Yeah, but it sounds like this is going to be, I mean, with what's going on with the NFL Network, it sounds like, you know, Rich Eisen and I think it's Kurt Warner are going to be actually on the ESPN telecast.
Yeah, it's going to be one telecast that is simulcast on.
They're going to do it out of Bristol, correct?
I believe so,
yeah. Yeah, because the NFL Network has closed their facilities out in Culver City.
And by the way, too, though, Dave, I mean, I would love to see this. And if it means an extra 5 minutes for each one of these picks, but we get an opportunity to get more in depth with some of these players and some of the stories. I mean, getting a chance to see, I mean, that kid from Penn State, his story. Have you seen his story yet? Matos' story?
What, the defensive lineman?
Yeah, his, I mean.
No, I don't know his story.
So his brother passed away, got directly struck by lightning and passed away.
Oh my God.
Yeah, when he was, I want to say the brother was 12 years old, I believe, when it happened.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
But the amazing part of the story is that the game he gets his first sack in was the game they played against Michigan State that got delayed for 3.5 hours with lightning.
Really?
Yeah, so he was in the locker room sobbing, thinking like this is his brother.
Right, sending a sign.
Yeah.
Oh, those stories are unbelievable. No, I haven't seen that. But those are the stories that, you know, he's 6'4", 287, runs a 4.4. That's great. But the story, when you actually get to go behind the scenes and learn a little bit about the individual, though, at least for me, those are the stories that ring true. Those are the stories that you always remember. See, I will now, and I mean this sincerely, always remember this about that guy. And I think this, it's a great opportunity for those that cover the draft to really bring the human interest forward here during this draft where there's nothing else going on, and hopefully you have extended time in between picks.
Well, I mean, that would be nice, Dave, but I don't think that's what the NFL is going to do. I think they're going to go about business as usual, and they've shown that they're adverse to change. And so while there are general managers that want more time or general managers that would like to have concessions made because of what we're dealing with as a result of the pandemic, the NFL has been resistant to that every single step of the way. I mean, they weren't going to push back the start of free agency. Things haven't changed. So, I mean, it's just the NFL wants to do business as usual, and they want to stick to the guidelines that they had in place prior to everything that's been going on with the virus. And I just feel like with 2 weeks left to go, I don't feel like there's any movement on the NFL side in terms of being able to, you know, help general managers and front offices out as far as the difficulties that they're going to face on draft night.
All right, let's go to some of the calls, 800-919-3776. John in Queens. John, you're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. If we're talking about the draft, I got, I guess, a little mild hot take for everyone here. I just think this quarterback class is extremely hyped up and overrated, and I could go through the top 10 quarterbacks with you. But I think this year's draft is way better outside of the quarterback, and I think the teams that are positioned to draft quarterbacks are more desperate than smart. I don't think the picks even, you know, we could start with Joe Burrow. You know, yes, he had one of the best college year ever, but is that sustainable? And especially on Cincinnati, I don't know. And on the other quarterbacks, we go down the list. But again, in 5 years, I don't think we're going to be talking about any of these quarterbacks. What do you guys think? I know that you guys like some of them.
I think it depends on situation. I think it depends on, I mean,
but, you I, know, think I agree with you totally. I totally, Rick. But like Jordan Love, Mahomes comparisons, let's pump the brakes.
Watch his tape, though. You know, no one's saying he's Pat Mahomes. You just do me a favor. Like, you'll have some time today. Watch some of his tape. It's not that he's as good as Mahomes, but some of the things he's capable of doing, like some of his, the way he throws the football, different arm angles, some of his mannerisms. Like, I mean, when you see it, I mean, I've watched a ton of his tape. Like, when you see it, it almost does. You have to, you're like, wow, that looks just like him. I'm not saying he is him, but I mean, I would imagine everyone, you know, everyone in these NFL offices think they're the smartest people in the building, so that they feel like, you know, if he's got this kind of arm talent, if I can work with him, I can turn him into a really good starting quarterback. I think the other thing too is with what, you know, the 7-on-7s, these kids, I mean, with, you know, the Jordan Palmers of the world, the Trent Dilfers of the world, I mean, all this quarterback coaching, how much they throw the ball in high school now, how much they're throwing the ball in college. I think I mean, you guys tell me if you agree or disagree. The bust rate has definitely, I mean, there seems to be less and less busts in these drafts with quarterbacks.
Yeah. I think all you got to do, Rick, is look around at the different NFL teams. There aren't a whole lot of quarterback vacancies out there. I mean, think about it. We're talking about the Bengals taking Burrow number one overall. We're trying to figure out if Miami is going to pull the trigger on drafting Tua Tagovailoa. And then you're looking at what the New England Patriots got. And outside of that, there's not any team that you can point to where you say that they don't have an incumbent starting quarterback that they feel good about. Now, whether or not they're right is a different story altogether, but I just don't think that we've seen the need at the quarterback position this offseason that we've typically seen in off-seasons prior.
Chris, let me ask you an honest question here. Just think about this for a quick second. So I understand. I mean, if you can find your quarterback, if you love one of these kids, if it's, you know, if it's Herbert, Tua, I think Cincinnati, you know, ends up taking Joe Burrow. But say you're Miami and you're on the fence a little bit. Like, you do like Tua, but you're concerned that longevity, you know, maybe not there. You kind of like Herbert, but, you know, if it was apples to apples, you probably would pick Tua, but injuries kind of have clouded that whole thing up. If Miami decided we're going to use our 3 first-round picks on players that are the best available with our needs, could be offensive side of the ball, could be defense, whatever it ends up being, do you think the Miami Dolphins, if they go through the draft the right way and pick the right kind of players with what they've done in free agency, and they sign Cam Newton, that the Miami Dolphins could win the AFC East?
Could they win the AFC East? I don't know if they're there yet. I don't think they're there yet. And I don't think that's the direction that Brian Flores and Chris Greer want to go in. You know what I mean? I don't think they have a win now mandate. Does that make sense?
I know they don't have a mandate. But when you look, I'm just like, if I took a step back and looked at where the AFC East was at, realizing that, you know, Bill Belichick and the Patriots may take a step back. Who knows? I mean, you give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, Buffalo is good.
I think your logic is right as far as Cam Newton goes.
He's not old.
He's not old. He's not old from an age standpoint, but he's old in terms of football years and the punishment that he's taken and the surgeries that he's gone through. What is it, 3 consecutive off seasons with major surgery?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like, if you're a team that's on the verge of competing for a division title and trying to get into the postseason, and you feel like you're a quarterback away, Cam Newton makes a lot of sense. Like, that's why we were talking about the Chicago Bears potentially being in on Cam Newton, the Los Angeles Chargers potentially being in on Cam Newton, because those rosters were good enough to support a quarterback if you had a guy that could be a true difference maker and compete for a division title. But if you're a team like Miami, I don't think that the Dolphins are quite there yet. I think they're a year or two away from being able to compete for the division.
I just think it'd be an interesting conversation. Like, if Cam Newton checked out and he was fully healthy,
mm-hmm.
and you had the opportunity, because, I mean, you had, with all those draft picks, I mean, you spent some money this offseason. You got Van Noy, you got Byron Jones. I mean, you did spend some money, but with the number of young players you have on your team, I mean, you could put yourself in a position where, you know, if I have Cam Newton healthy for, you know, the next 4 years, I mean, how much noise can I make in the division?
Yeah, if I have DeAndre Swift and I have Henry Ruggs and I have Devontae Parker, yeah, could you see them making noise if he's healthy? Yeah, I could see, especially with obviously New England not the same team.
But guys, we really haven't seen Cam Newton healthy since when? 2015, 2016?
Yeah,
no, we saw him before he ended up taking that shot from JT. What? I mean, he was having an unbelievable season before.
No,
that.
He was having an unbelievable season. But again, that was another offseason where he was coming off of a procedure on his throwing shoulder.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're not wrong. But I'd say it seemed whatever procedure he had worked because he was balling.
I guess my trepidation with Cam Newton is to expect a guy that's on this side of 30 that has the injury history that he has and has the style of play that he has to expect him to be healthy for the next 3 or 4 seasons, I think that's a little bit unrealistic. I think that those organizations that we're talking about, especially with the Miami Dolphins, they're looking at it from a standpoint of who's a guy that we feel comfortable with building and growing with, somebody that we can have for the next decade plus.
Yeah,
I think that's the conversation they're having now.
Yeah, the Dolphins are not going to bring in Cam Newton. I don't think anybody expects that. I just think that the idea, if they brought in Cam Newton and he was healthy, could they compete? I think for me, the answer is probably yes.
Yeah, but
I agree with you.
The reason why I asked the question, maybe it's just me being selfish as a football fan. I mean, if any quarterback would fit perfectly in Miami, you can't imagine Cam Newton rolling into the game with, you know what I mean, with the shirt unbuttoned.
Personality-wise, he'd be a hit. He'd be a hit.
Perfect. I mean, he's tailor-made for Miami.
But is that what Brian Flores wants?
No, I don't know. But here's what I'm saying, though. You also need to realize that the longer you wait, so you got this season, it could be with Tua, whoever it is. You got no OTAs. You're going to have a condensed training camp, whatever it is. Like, this year's going to be whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a learning experience. So you're burning this year. All you're doing is giving Bill Belichick another year to reboot. Like, that would scare the hell out of me. Yeah, you want to grow with a young quarterback, but you're also giving the Patriots time to kind of get things back in order. And I'm going to have to go back against them. And Buffalo has another year where Josh Allen has improved. Sam Darnold's had another year to improve. If you could capitalize now over the next couple of years, I don't know, man. That would seem.
I don't think Miami's good enough to compete for the division with or without Cam Newton this season. Now, maybe in 2021, that's possible, but not this year.
I don't know, man. They got a lot of draft picks. They made a lot of good moves.
They're clearly heading in the right direction. That's for sure. Whether they, you know, and again, I don't think that they're going to wind up with Cam Newton. But it is an interesting idea that if you did get him and he was healthy, you know, how good could you be? If you draft well, we don't know what New England is going to be, right? You hear Todd McShay all the time say that Stidham is, he's just not capable of being an NFL quarterback. I think Buffalo right now is probably the most legitimate team in this division.
Yeah, I'd say so. They made the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years, right?
Yeah, at least amount of question marks, I'd say Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think Buffalo is clearly on the upswing, and they got better this offseason already.
A lot better.
Yeah, so I think if I were having to pick a team in the AFC East division winner today, I would pick the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, they are clearly the safest pick.
Yeah. But, I mean, here's the other side of that Miami argument, though. I mean, if Miami does decide they're going to select a quarterback with one of their first-round picks this year, I mean, they're penciling that guy in under center for the next dozen years or so. How much longer is Bill Belichick going to be the head coach of the New England Patriots? How much longer can he do it?
Maybe a decade.
I mean, he's already passed some of the other greats in terms of the amount of years he's coached in the National Football League. I mean, he's already coached longer than Don Shula has coached. So how much longer can Bill Belichick actually coach in the National Football League?
What is he, 66, 67?
68, I think. You 68? Think he's got a birthday in the next few days, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to envision a man of 78 years old, you know, sleeping 4 hours a night on a couch in an office and working 19, 20 hours a day.
No, could you imagine? Could you imagine a quarterback at 43 years old grinding the way that Tom Brady grinds?
No, and listen, and Rick, I'll tell you, if there was any coach that could do it, I would put my money on Belichick, but it's just – it's difficult to imagine a 78-year-old guy coaching in the NFL, you know, working 20-hour days, sleeping on the couch, you know, not showering. Maybe he can, but it's difficult to envision that.
Yeah, but Dave, what's the one thing, right? We always talk about this with our teams. The one thing you know is that it starts from the top down, correct? So, I mean, yeah. It starts with ownership. And, I mean, you could make the argument that as far as pro sports concerned, Robert Kraft is one of the best owners in professional sports, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so, I mean, who's to say, now God forbid this happens, but that, now, okay, say Bill Belichick coaches for the next 7 years, whatever it is, he passes Don Shula and he decides, if that's the case, and he now has it, he's got the quarterback in place, whoever ends up, you know, replacing him, I doubt that Josh McDaniel stays around long enough, maybe it ends up being one of his sons. You don't think he's going to leave them in a good spot when he leaves? Continue to have success?
I think that would be the plan, of course.
Yeah, that would be the plan, and I would bet that even when Bill Belichick is gone, they probably won't have him. They're not going to be dynastic, but they'll still be a really good.
That's the thing I would wonder about. Could that culture transcend Belichick at the same organization? That's the one thing that I'm not sure, because we've seen Belichick disciples not necessarily do as well. The most successful one is Bill O'Brien. So, I mean, I'm thinking about it. It's like, okay, is this something that will succeed him actually coaching the Patriots?
If he has his quarterback in place, like if Bill Belichick leaves whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
with that quarterback that he's already pre-programmed with the Patriots way of doing things,
yep.
Then you could, yeah, I think you could continue to do it.
Let's go to Anthony.
That's what made Belichick and Brady so special, man. Is that the way they see the game? You know what I mean? Like that. If you get your quarterback to buy in the way that Tom Brady bought in, that makes coaching so much easier.
Of course it does. In any sport, if you get your star player to be the guy that can, you know, take all the slings and arrows, buys in 100%. Let's go to Anthony in Hillsborough. Anthony, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Gentlemen, I just want to say I'm new to your station, and it could have been in a better time. You guys, not only the sports, I love sports. I've loved sports my whole life. But the fact that you guys were talking about something really key just earlier, you were talking about people changing, some people not changing, okay? I work with families in crisis. I'm a Christian counselor. And the key with me is kids will roll with stuff. When they know something's good and they got to do it, they do it. Adults, it's another story, you know? So I just want to tell you, you hit on something so important right now, the sports thing. I miss sports like crazy. But the fact that some people are willing to make changes and some people aren't, and I think that's the key. And I just want to thank you guys again. God bless you. Take care of yourself.
All right, thank you, and thanks for the call. It's nice. It does mean a lot, Rick, when you have people that call in and say, you guys are helping me get through this, right? I mean, it does. It feels good to be able to, because we're not doing a lot. We're sitting here in our homes talking about sports and then life in general and talking to you guys. But for those people that call us and say, hey, what you're doing does make a difference, it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
No, it makes your day. I mean, you like to believe. I mean, sometimes we'll sit in the studio and we'll forget like that we're actually talking to, you know, however many people. But to have people call in and especially during a time like this and say, you know, that just us being on the radio for 3 hours kind of helps them get through their day is, I mean, what could be better than that? I could care less about any sports point that I've ever made that was right. Those are the best kind of phone calls.
Those are nice phone calls. They really are. Makes you feel good, Chris, doesn't it?
No question about it, Dave. I mean, it's just, you know, to Rick's point, sometimes we'll just get into these back and forth conversations and we'll forget that there are actually people on the other end that are listening to what we're saying. And if we can just be a part of making their day a little bit brighter, then that's what we're here for. That's what it's all about.
Yep. Then it's a win for everybody. All right. In these trying times, very important to remember, we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects. And we certainly know that that is true. Of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out, still serving the community, please let us know. Send an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com and let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. All right, let's see what we got here today. I can give you Italian or I can give you burgers. What would you like right now, Rick?
I'm going to go with, you know how much I love Italian, but let's save Italian. Give me something to look forward to. Let's go with a delicious burger.
Like American Burgers, located at 326A Sunrise Highway, Rockville Center, New York. Open from noon till 8 p.m. for takeout and delivery. Give them a call at 516-766-2227. That's 516-766-2227. We got to a whole conversation last night because Sherry made steak for the first night of Passover of what the appropriate way to temperature to make the steak. I'm a medium rare guy. Rick,
that's
are
right
you
way.
That so you concur with that? Medium rare is absolutely the way to go.
Yeah, I don't think you can go it's a good steak, you can't go past medium.
Yeah, I would agree. Chris, you're medium rare?
I am a medium guy.
You're medium?
Yes.
So you like it cooked a little bit more?
Just a little bit.
Well, that's because he gets the bone in ribeyes. You got to let some of that fat melt off. Get those juices.
It's outstanding, though. Alexi, the flavor profile is outstanding. A little bit of char.
Can't eat it. Morton's, the Cajun ribeye? Forget it. Ridiculous. Alexi Yashin used to get his steak blue.
What does that mean? Undercooked?
Yes.
No, blue means you barely...
It's still mooing.
Moves. Mooing when you eat it.
I don't like that at all.
Steak tartare.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was like...
That's unsafe.
So I'm eating it. Well, he's eating. I mean, we were eating at nice steak restaurants.
Char with it pink throughout. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, you get a nice crust on that bad boy, well seasoned. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you want. That's what you need. Speaking of burgers, Canty, this is going to be right up your alley. So I was watching Food Network last night. That's my go-to channel. This is going to be right up your alley. So what this guy does, and I give him tons of credit, because, I mean, just the amount of work that goes into one sandwich was crazy. He gets the pork belly, right? He butchers the entire animal, gets the pork belly, smokes it himself, makes his own bacon. Doesn't stop there, takes that bacon he just made, now he grinds it up, forms it into a bacon patty, so now it's just strictly a bacon burger, and that's how he makes his BLT. It's not strips of bacon, the burger's the bacon. And then he puts the lettuce and tomato.
It's been genius.
It looked outrageous.
Sounds
a whole
delicious.
Burger bacon, are you kidding me?
Oh, a good hamburger is so good.
I don't want to sound too bougie, but I'm gonna, just because it's my favorite. The burger Peter Luger's is ridiculous.
Peter Luger's is
like if you want to treat yourself to one of the most delicious burgers you ever had in your entire life, and it's not like those. I get it, like the burgers when you get all the stuff on it, like all the different accoutrement. That's great. But if you want just strictly about the burger, the Luger burger is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've never had it because I never go to Luger's and get the burger. You know, like I'm always wanting steak when I go to Luger's. So I never go kind of off the
menu. But the beauty of their burger is they take their porterhouse steaks and they grind it into the burger.
Mm.
You're getting a burger version of their steaks.
All right, we should save this conversation until later in the show because I'm becoming very hungry at the moment.
You just had a feast last night. You should be still full.
That's from last night. And we're talking about 15 hours ago. It's been a long time.
That's true.
I get hungry again. Sherry made some beautiful scrambled eggs this morning for breakfast.
Soft scramble?
What does that mean, soft scramble?
Do you like that? I mean, some people like their eggs like well done, like
really
cooked, and some people like them.
No, light and fluffy is the way I enjoy the egg.
Light and pillowy?
Yeah.
No toast.
Can't eat toast now.
That's a good point. Any matzah?
Not over Passover.
Any matzah?
A little matzah. Some whole wheat matzah. Yeah, sure.
Nice.
Yeah. Take a little weight off now over the next week because we've certainly done a great job putting it on in the last month. Now, just like their everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. What are they, you want to know? I got a list of them right in front of me. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Stay home anyway. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. All right. We bring him in, one of our favorites, the talented and really up-to-date with everything going on in the world of the NFL, specifically the New York Football Giants, and that is Jordan Renan. Good morning, Jordan Renan.
Good morning. What's going on, guys?
We're getting by, my friend, one day at a time.
I know. You know, today is the first day of spring break in this neck of the woods. 11 straight days of no school around here now, not even homeschooling. So,
but why not?
Gonna be, huh?
Why not?
Why not what? Have school?
Why not blow out spring break and just say you're still going to go to school? I don't understand the point of it. Kids are doing nothing anyway.
I agree with you. I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, what the heck are we going to do for 11 straight days of nothing?
Yeah, that doesn't make all that sense.
A lot of activities I got to come up with. Yeah. Right in time for the draft. Perfect, you know?
There you go. Kids' activities right in time for the draft. All right, Jordan, a lot of draft questions for you. The one that will make me explode and lose my mind is if the Giants at 4 overall take the kid out of Auburn, was it Derrick Brown, right? Walk me.
Yes.
There's no reason for me to be worried or concerned about that, right? That's not going to happen.
I would feel pretty strongly that that's not going to happen.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Look, we know Dave Gettleman likes the defensive line. You know, Joe Judge, too. They're you know, both of them, and they say, what are their beliefs of how to build a winning team? Stop the run right at the top. You know, so defensive linemen fall right into that category. And Derrick Brown probably can rush the passer, too. But, I mean, let's be honest. They have a $16 million investment in Leonard Williams. They have a first-round investment in Dexter Lawrence, right? They drafted B.J. Hill, who's a rotational player. They even just signed the defensive lineman, Austin Johnson, right? Not a big deal, but they guaranteed him almost $1 million. So, I mean, there's only so many spots. I think you could feel pretty good that they're not going to go in that direction. Because like they tell you, you know, best player available, that's not really fully true, right? If the best player in the draft is Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin, are they really going to draft Jonathan Taylor?
No, they could. They could.
what's with the pessimism today? They're not drafting Jonathan Taylor.
I'm just kidding.
I know. But they're not drafting Derrick Brown. I think you feel pretty good that they would try and move out, look elsewhere, go at another position for a player that is of a position of need that is at least closely graded to him at that point. Because we're talking about the fourth pick. There's good players available.
Jordan, I want to ask you a personal question because that's how much I care about you. How will you personally be covered in this year's draft?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be sitting in my office, really, at home. I mean, that's how it's going to happen. There's just like everybody else, right? Just like Dave Gettleman sitting in his basement or wherever he's going to be sitting in his house. Just like Roger Goodell, you know, broadcasting from his house. I mean, I'll be on the phone. They're texting really nonstop with people around the league and people within the Giants and, you know, back and forth, and we'll be home. And I'm sure if they want me to come on and talk about the Giants, I'll be sitting and have this camera set up and ready to go. I mean, that's how we're working these days. Now, I will say this. For the most part, it hasn't been that abnormal to date. Because the reality is, for us, at least as reporters, like you're working remotely this time of the year, like 90%. Like, everything's about making phone calls, talking to people, and just, you know, going over, getting as much information and background on all these guys and all the prospects as possible. So not much has changed to date. It will change during the draft in the fact that I assume, we don't know this yet, you know, you'll be sitting at home, and rather than go and be able to talk to Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge right there in person, you'll be talking to them on Zoom calls or whatever platform they decide to use.
Jordan, I want to start with more of a big picture question about the Giants' approach to this year's draft. I remember at the beginning of the offseason, we all had a laugh when Dave Gettleman talked about the computer folks and trying to incorporate more analytics with their evaluation of players and the overall direction of the program. Do you have any idea from a pragmatic standpoint how that's going to be implemented 2 weeks from now?
You know, I don't think, first of all, when he talked about those computer folks, that was sort of setting up a system, right? It wasn't like, okay, we're instituting a whole new way of evaluating prospects. So I don't think there's going to be a major change at this point. Now, I think they have people inside the building, and they've had an analytics guy pretty much for the last few years, where maybe they're, especially with Joe Judge there, they're going to be paying a little bit more attention to it or giving it a little bit more credence. But there's no whole new system in place this year. They started last year, Gettleman, 2 years ago. He started to kind of change the way they did their grading in regards to making it into tiers, which was different from a little different from how they did it in the past in regards to grades. So I don't think there's anything new this year that they're really implementing. So those three computer guys were people improving their back-end systems and stuff, as far as I know.
Jordan Renan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You know, the two ways that they could potentially go, it sounds like, are the linebacker out of Clemson. Yeah. Or an offensive lineman. And I'll hear a compelling point, and I'll be like, yes, the offensive line is the way you should go. And then I'll hear a compelling point on the other side of Simmons. But yes, that's the way, in fact, that they should go. I don't know what the right thing is. I'm inclined to think offensive line, but I'm not 100% sold with that. What's your take, and more importantly, what do you think the Giants are thinking as far as the disparity between these two?
Yeah, I think that's the debate that they're having, right? Because it's best defensive player, which we're assuming at that point is likely Isaiah Simmons, and against offensive tackle, which would ultimately, you know, give you something to protect your investment in Daniel Jones. And I think that's a debate that they're having, and you know, which is the better way to go. And my, you know, just from talking to people and listening to people talk, there's four offensive linemen, right? Everyone seems to around the league. I mean, I've talked to people who like Andrew Thomas best. I've talked to people who like Mekhi Becton best, you know, an absolute monster out of Louisville. You know, he's the guy that teams can dream of as, you know, their Walter Jones, you know, Hall of Fame kind of guy, because he's such a physical freak. My gut tells me from what I'm hearing is that the Giants, if he's not at the top, he's right there. Tristan Wirfs is the guy that they like, one of the guys, if not the guy that they like, right in that mix, right? So in order to get him, like, he'll be available at four, right? But there's probably a likelihood that he's available at seven, at six, maybe at eight or nine, who knows? So I'm thinking that, and this is sort of like an informed opinion guess, that the Giants are really open this time. And I know we say that Dave Gettleman has never traded back. I really get the feeling that they would like to move back a little bit, whether it's one spot, two spots, three spots, five spots, and then take their offensive lineman, which I think their preference would be worse. Don't know that for sure, but here's the flip side, right? You want to trade. It sounds great. It's easier said than done. There has to be a willing partner on the other end. There's always a lot of teams that want to trade down. There's not as many teams that always want to trade up. And from what I'm hearing is, you know, the Miami Dolphins were the team, you say Tua, 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 right? And I've heard for like a year now they love Tua, they love Tua. There's some concern there from what I hear, right? The whole idea that you can, the injury and you can't bring him in, I mean, that's going to be a hard investment to make, and I think that's why you're hearing people now kind of move off Tua from the Dolphins, and they might be going over to Justin Herbert. So that trade-down scenario, which we've all been talking about for so long, might not really exist.
Jordan, not joining us on the show. Jordan, you mentioned Tua. Is it more about the long-term durability of Tua, or is it about the actual hip injury that he suffered?
I think it's about more of the long-term durability because, you know, you can get the information and look at how he looks now on tape and that kind of stuff, but it's about projecting if he's going to be that in 2 or 3 years, right? If he can hold up. And, you know, I spoke to John Middlecoff on this week's podcast. He's a former NFL scout. And he said he's been hearing from people, too, when he talks to them. They don't think Tua is the premium athlete, right? That wasn't his strength. He wasn't a super fast athletic kind of guy. He's kind of a guy who stands in the pocket and throws the ball, moves a little bit. And the fact that he's not a guy who's going to escape those rushes, like, look, think about it. Some of these injuries he had are plays where he's been tracked down. So he's getting tracked down in college. What's going to happen in the pros? And so to project the durability moving forward and make that investment, I think has teams concerned. And the fact that you can't bring him in and have him checked by your own doctors so you can kind of look at it and then project it out long term, I think that's the concern right now, more than anything.
So, Jordan, we're hearing all these reports from general managers and from clubs complaining about getting things set up to run the draft remotely, a lot of general managers from their homes.
Right.
I mean, do we have any idea on where the Giants are at? Have they voiced any concerns about security, about the integrity of their process, the communications, in terms of being able to actually run their draft?
No, we haven't heard anything on that. And remember, John Mara is involved in these committees, right? He was heavily involved in the decision to have the draft, to go through with having the draft. So you're not going to hear anybody from the Giants, especially, you know, they threatened, we don't want to hear people go out there and complain. So you're not going to hear that from anyone with the Giants. And look, this is from my perspective. I'm sitting here and my daughter is, you know, their school has set up a system where they're basically running school remotely, right? Every day. There's assignments, there's meetings, all this stuff. It's my buddy is a technology director at one of these schools. They got it together in like a week, you know, of making sure that our kids, right, and their teachers have everything where they can operate our schools remotely these days. I'm pretty sure these billion-dollar companies should be able to get their stuff. First of all, they should have been working on this for a month at least already at this point, right? So I'm sure these billion-dollar corporations can figure out a way to make this work and make their stuff secure. And you don't need the IT directors to go to everybody's house either and set them up. I mean, come on. We've all – everyone who has kids and their kids are going to school, they've done it to a degree – at home with people helping them set up the technology, giving them, I know people, you know, that don't have internet and don't have computers. They were set up with stuff. They were given equipment and told how to set it up and operate it remotely. These billion-dollar corporations, they could do the same. And I, to be honest with you, and I don't know, I doubt I'm alone in this. I don't want to hear them complain about how they're worried about drafting football players because the technology is too much for them to do from home.
Tough love from Jordan Renan here on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, do you guys disagree with that? I mean, it seems silly to me. I mean, what are we worried about? They're drafting football players.
Yeah, no, I think that you're right in your assessment. Evan Engram.
Although let's be honest, you know, these Zoom meetings that everyone's having, you can have like little side chats on the side and set up, you know, little group text type deals, and can we imagine Dave Gettleman doing that right now? I mean, there is something about that makes me chuckle a little bit.
Yeah, Gettleman, you know, getting with the times, not exactly awe inspiring for the Giants fan base. Evan Engram,
make it work. You know,
you got to make it work. I agree with you. We've heard rumblings of a trade and him not being the starting tight end this coming season. Is there any chance that you think that he's dealt in the next 2 weeks or on draft day for the Giants to acquire more picks, or you think they're locked in with Engram as the tight end for this year?
I think when they look at that offense right now, who's the most dynamic pass catcher that's on this roster? It's Evan Engram.
Yeah,
right?
Probably Engram and maybe Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said pass catcher. So I wanted to say, obviously, Saquon's probably the most dynamic offensive player. But pass catcher, the most dynamic pass catcher on this roster is Evan Engram. He does not have an exorbitant price. He is coming off an injury. He is not fully healthy yet, right? His value is not going to be that high. So I don't think it makes sense for the Giants to do that. Like, they're not going to get a really high pick for a guy who teams, honestly, wouldn't you even want – I think it would be hard even if they wanted to, which I don't think is the plan. Even if you wanted to trade for Evan Engram right now, wouldn't it be important to check this guy out beforehand?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's still recovering from a foot injury. As recently as, like, I don't know, a month or 6 weeks ago, he was still wearing a boot at times. So That would be a tough thing to do. I don't see it happening. I'd be very surprised if it happened at this point.
Jordan on joins us in the show. Jordan, last one from me. Level of concern for Joe Judge and this coaching staff not having, you know, OTAs or the kind of offseason that they probably need headed into their first year.
Yeah. Look, they know that it's going to be tough. Everybody knows that. And I think when I talk to people now around the league, I think everyone's kind of under the impression that there is going to be no spring, pretty much, right? I mean, what is the earliest that teams can possibly get back at this point? Are we talking June?
Yeah,
right? We're already
at the absolute earliest,
mid-April.
Yes.
I mean, like, realistically, you're not – anything before June seems unrealistic. So I think they're just trying to make the best of it. I know that they're – Joe Judge right now is going through contingency upon contingency of everything. How are they going to operate if they only get the summer? How are they going to operate if they only get, you know, two preseason games? He's going through all this right now and just trying to make the best of it. And you're going to see them think of outside-the-box things. I know Nick Saban did something like he had his players all given Apple Watches, right? And they're able to basically track how much their workouts and stuff through the Apple Watches. Joe Judge is going to try and do things like that as well. Be as progressive as possible. Now, I don't know, given the NFL and the NFLPA and the rules, if that is something that can actually happen in the NFL. But those are the kind of things that he's going to try and do to make the best of the situation. And let's be honest, I was thinking about this recently. These rookies are going to be at a huge disadvantage this year.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I think most rookies are basically going to have to get redshirted if there's even a season, right? Mm-hmm. Except for maybe like the first, second-round picks. The other guys, I mean, you have a third-round pick. Let's say Shane Ximenez last year. He's coming from Old Dominion, right? Or Corey Ballantyne. They're coming from this level. They don't have any spring at all. They don't get to learn the playbook except maybe remotely. They don't get to actually practice it on the field with their teammates until the middle of the summer. There's no way coaches are going to trust these guys to play as rookies. They're just going to sit the bench, be basically redshirted and special team players throughout their rookie year.
So, Jordan, with everything that you're outlining from the first-year head coach not having an offseason and having a learning curve because he's never done the job before to young players coming in and being behind because they don't have the opportunity to have OTAs or minicamp, it just feels like the Giants are going to be in a tough spot. Now, I know there's not going to be a win-now mandate on the first-year head coach, but I can't help but think back to when John Mara said that Dave Gettleman needed to improve his batting average. This offseason, it seems like it's going to be awfully tough for Dave Gettleman to be able to have the kind of success that he would need in 2020 to justify him having a job in 2021.
I agree with you, which is to why when I looked at it from a big picture perspective, it made sense to do it last year, right? Because they're still not close. They're going to bring in all these new systems. Now they're even set back even further because the coach won't get, you know, put the players on the field till who knows when. So, yeah, I think the way this is going to pan out, Chris, is Dave Gettleman's fate is ultimately going to rest on the guys that he drafted the previous two years. And those guys better make the jump under the new coaching staff, right? We know they said the coaching staff, they could have won more games, they could have done better job like developing the players, right? That was some of the complaints. So, all right, we're going to see now. Are the guys who were drafted 2 years ago, the Will Hernandezes of the world, the B.J. Hills, who didn't make that jump in year two, who kind of stayed in the same spot, there was some promise after their rookie years, but the second season, it kind of just, you know, hit the brakes and stopped. Those guys are going to have to make the jump. Those guys from last year's draft class, the Darius Slaytons of the world, he's going to have to do it again. He's going to have to keep going, trending in that direction. Some of those cornerbacks, those defensive backs, somebody's got to step up, right? I think ultimately that is what's going to decide Dave Gettleman's fate, and those guys kind of need to step it up in order for this team to be any good at all and really compete, even just for, you know, 8-8.
Yeah. Well, it could be an interesting season for the New York Giants. All right, Jordan, we always appreciate it. Enjoy spring break, and we will probably talk to you in the next couple days. Good stuff as always, bud.
You got it, guys. Keep in touch. Stay healthy.
All right, thanks. That, of course, is Jordan Renan. 2 weeks from tonight, the NFL Draft. You can catch it right here on 98.7 ESPN.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.